Port is a really large passion project of mine. Pre-production was about a year in total before getting off the ground and getting into production. But it really stems from a backing of being surrounded by the marine environment. And here in Australia, obviously, we're girt by sea. And I've spent a lot of my time and my childhood diving, fishing and recreating with our marine ecosystems. And over those years, I have seen the changes that are in place. So I really wanted to bring to the forefront in an appealing documentary, educating everybody about the system changes that we have at place with rising water acidity and what's happening as well to contribute to that rising water acidity across the globe and here in Australia, whilst also educating the audience on the small subtle changes that we can all make by supporting particular seafoods or avoiding plastic bottles that will then benefit the overall health of the marine ecosystem.
One of the most interesting things about your approach is, of course, to start off as a concerned citizen. Like most of the people who will be watching the film, I mean, you had questions. How did you get the answers? I mean, to make the script?
So there was a lot of research involved in it just to understand exactly what's happening with our rising water acidity. But in Australia, we have some really fantastic, passionate citizen scientists and also, marine environmental scientists that provided some fantastic information for me and also ended up featuring in the documentary. So by reaching out to those people, having those initial discussions, it was a great form of educating myself to understand some of the topics that we'll cover.
Yeah, which is a great way to go, isn't it? To because you're taking people by the hand and showing them that this is an issue that they need to be worried about, but this is how they can actually have some positive impact.
That's it. And I think for a lot of people, when we do talk about conservation or, global warming, everyone just thinks it's all too hard and it's too big of a problem to be solved. But it can be solved and it can be reversed by everybody banding together. And first of all, voting with our money, whether that be supporting particular species like the long-spine sea urchin or oysters, or just making those subtle changes as I've briefly discussed.
Well, it was fascinating to see the litter pickers, as it were, because my daughter had a similar experience. She goes litter picking with her little kid, who's only 2.5. He now is a litter picker supremo.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to embed that into our younger generation. I think more and more that this topic is discussed, people are starting to see conservation and citizen science as a really fun, passionate thing to be a part of. It's almost becoming cool to think about the environment and think about our future. And as the generation above, you just want to ensure that people can have the same experience as what we've had interacting with our environment into the future. So I think embedding those things early on to the younger generation and teaching them those traits is really powerful.
One of the things that's most compelling about your documentary, Hot Water, is that you take us to a very local and knowable environment. So, for example, the Port Phillip Bay. Or the where the man was looking for microplastics.
Yes, on the Patterson River, yeah.
Now these are very local. I mean, they're local to me, in fact.
Yes.
So I found it absolutely fascinating to have someone talk about something rather, it's not over there, it's here.
Yeah, and I think, we've all seen some of the things that are happening overseas and the cleanup efforts that are happening in Indonesia or Bali, for instance, but third world problems that are happening right here on Australia's doorstep. For that particular sequence, we've got sewage that's leaking out, and we've got microplastics that are leaking out from factory runoff from being swept down onto the floor into the Paterson River without filtration systems. It's a Stone Age practice and it really needs to be addressed. And when you look at what's happening down the food chain and down the line, all of these microplastics are really going back into our own food chain. So microplastics are being released from the factory floor down the Paterson River out into Port Phillip Bay, then entering the sea via the Bass Strait. But when they are in Port Phillip Bay, we've got a magnificent snapper fishery in Victoria. What's happening to those recreational fishermen that are targeting those snapper? Where's the microplastic going? It really is being ingested by human interaction. So it's quite Yeah, it's quite concerning.
Yeah, very compelling. And the other thing that's fascinating, you've already brought it up, the recreational fisher people, you actually not only bring scientists who have been researching these issues, you bring in people who love the environment that they go and play in.
That's right. And I think as a citizen scientist now, or even just a recreational fisherman, you have that automatic love for what you do. It's that reset, it's that time on the water, it's your escape from technology, and being away from all of that really helps you admire and fall in love with the environment. So you automatically, as somebody that goes out on the water consistently, if I see garbage floating, I'm picking it up because I don't want it to end up in the wrong place. I don't want it to be consumed by an animal. I don't want a whale to get stuck in that debris. But you create that fond connection by interacting with the environment. And I think more and more, the more that people recreate with our environment, they should all care, and they develop that care over time.
Like you said, this was a passion project. And I know you must have brought some people along for the ride, because I looked at the credits and there are a variety of people who have involved themselves as cinematographers. You're involved in the scripting. You've obviously shot some of it. You've also edited it. And you also contribute music.
Yeah, yes, quite a diverse skill set. Which contributed to the hundreds, thousands of hours that I've put into this project. But as a commercial cinematographer full time, having my own production company, it was great to rely on some of the resources that I do have on a daily basis. We brought in Ash Dunn, the director of photography, that assisted and provided some fantastic advice. He has had some phenomenal shows air here in Australia, including Wild Croc Territory, the Rock Lobster Men, Mount Hutt Rescue. So having his expertise to really guide me as a bit of a mentor on this project has been phenomenal, and it's helped me in the chopping block as well, in the edit suite, in making things short, concise, and making sure that we're relaying that information so it's easy for everyone to understand. This piece really should be shown in schools. It should be an educational form for everybody. The target market for this is anybody that cares, anybody that interacts with the environment, to just open their mind about what they can do on a daily basis.
Yeah, that is actually quite clear about this production. It's quite clearly directed to everybody. It's not being highbrow in any sense of the word. And it showcases a whole group of people who are passionate about the environment and making it happen, which is great. It's on at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, which is a method of getting it out there. Have you taken it to other places, even like streaming services, just as a matter of interest?
Yes, so the plan is, in about a month's time, pending how we go at the film festival, it is subject to be going up behind TVOD to try and recoup some of the immense amount of time that I have spent on this project and my overhead. So it will be on transactional video on demand, so behind Apple TV, Amazon, YouTube Movies, and Prime, I think. I know I'm missing one. But, yeah, that is the plan. So it will be readily available after its screening. Hopefully it'll time out well, where people can then go and watch it and get it in front of those faces that matter and want to change as well, and would like to come along for that ride.
What did you learn in particular by doing this project? I mean, you set a spark, you wanted to do it quite clearly.
Yeah.
But what you must have learned a lot.
Oh, I learned so many things, not just about video production, and the way that the industry works, because it is quite a clicky industry. You need your screen credits for funding, things like that. And I guess I didn't want to hold back. I didn't want to wait for funding to come through. I wanted to make this off my own back, because it's such an important subject that needs to be spoken about now, and it needs interaction now. But a lot of the things that I found quite interesting were the fact that you can support particular products by voting with your money. So eating and consuming oysters, that's great. The more oysters that are consumed, the more carbon is sequestered in the environment. And if you're supporting the consumption of long-spine sea urchins, well, that's more urchins that the government are going to subsidise to be harvested by the Tasmanian Commercial Divers Association and long-spine sea urchin divers, that are going to then further benefit the fishery into the future, because it's removing that pest species from our reefs and bringing back habitat for the abalone industry and the southern rock lobster industry that contribute, you know, such a large impact to the Tasmanian economy, well over $100 million a year. So it's just so important to be thinking about what you are consuming. And although you might be consuming seafood, is it good for the environment? You know, we won't touch on salmon too much because there is nothing sustainable about the salmon industry. Whereas if you then go and support oysters and urchins, then at least you know from a consumer's point of view that you're not doing any damage to the environment. You're benefiting the environment.
Thank you for talking to me.
No, I really appreciate it, and thanks so much for your time. And I do encourage everybody to come along, not just watch my film. We are showing on the 17th of July, but there are some fantastic films a part of the documentary festival this year. And personally, I'm so honoured to be a part of it, and I'm looking forward to some of the questions on the panel of the night of our screening. And I can't wait to see what everybody else has produced as well. So, yeah, thanks very much for your time, and really appreciate the opportunity to talk about my project.